Your Bibles tonight, open up to the book of Luke, chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. This is not the text I'm using tonight, but I want to go through this parable just real briefly and to put a thought in your head, and then we'll get over to the book of Judges in Judges chapter 6. Been on deputation almost 2 years now. Now, I'll be quite honest with you, I do not really hardly ever preach mission messages. Some churches, I think, kind of expect it because missionaries come in, they show their burden, and they preach on missions. I believe differently in the sense that it's to each his own, but I just believe that you need to be led by the Lord and that he might have you give something else. And so if that's what the pastor's asking, of course, I understand that. But I actually am tonight. I usually only preach missions when I'm in a missions conference. But tonight, I think the Lord wanted me to preach this. I had a different message by this morning, and with the message that came this morning from Brother Stevens, I actually changed it because I think the Lord wanted me to preach this instead, and I'm going to kind of use his message this morning as a springboard for what I'm going to be looking at. If you look here in Luke chapter 19, and look down here in verse 11, a very, very familiar, or should be to you, Luke chapter 19, verse 11, a very familiar parable. It says, "And they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, and thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. There's something I want to point out here. It's kind of interesting. There's 10 men that he delivers pounds to do something with. For whatever reason, I don't know why he only addresses 3. What the other 7 did, I'm not really sure. The passage does not tell you. Sometimes I like to think that maybe they tried to invest the pound and lost it. You know, but at least they tried, and so God just really doesn't address them. But I want to really pay attention to this last fella, he that had 1 pound and didn't do anything with it. And you know this story. There's 2 different parables that are similar to each other about this. The precepts it's trying to teach here. But what I just want to point out is something is right here is this last man, he says in verse 21, for I feared thee because thou art an austere man, and thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. You say, what is he doing? He's being a good human being. You say, what is that? He's making an excuse. Today you got a message on excuses, and it kind of had to do with, you know, why people don't accept Jesus Christ. And you know what? In here, I assume that everybody, if not every single person in here, is saved. Most likely. Now, there may be 1 or 2 that are not, but I'm talking to mostly saved people. You know what? I wish to God that the excuse-making stopped the day we got saved. But let's be in reality here. Let's get a reality check. We are, as human beings, we are great at making excuses. We are great at making excuses for every shortcoming of ours, for every sin of ours, for everything. It's in our nature to make excuses. If you come over to Judges chapter 6, we'll get right here into the text. Again, another familiar passage, or should be to you, especially if you're raised in church. The story of Gideon. Question I have for you tonight is the title of this message. is why not you? Go over here to Judges chapter 6 and look with me, if you will, in verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told of us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites. Let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, I do thank you, God, for the truth that we have in this book. I thank you for an opportunity to get up here and open it up amongst the fellow believers, I believe, that are like-minded. And God, I do pray tonight that you'd have your will and your way amongst the people here. And Lord, I have no idea in the world why you impressed upon me to preach this message. But at the same time, God, there may be one here. And maybe that's all I'm preaching to tonight. And God, if there's one, is make an excuse, God, not to be called, I pray, God, you get a hold of them. And God, you grab them and not let them go. That God, you take away all their excuses and answer the call. I ask these things in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Judges chapter 6, you see right here in verse 12 it says, middle of the verse, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now look at Gideon's response. And Gideon said unto him, O Lord, my Lord, if the Lord be with us. Pastor was emphasizing on that today, paying attention to wording. He didn't even listen to what he just said. He said, the Lord is with thee, individually. You know what comes out of Gideon's mouth? The next thing that comes out of his mouth is an excuse. Why has all this befallen us? And he's beginning to imply and collectively put himself with the nation of Israel. And make what? An excuse. That's all he's making, an excuse. You know, I don't know exactly all the excuses you can make. There's hundreds. But you know what many excuses I think Christians make for not answering the call of God? And it doesn't even have to be missions. Whatever the call of God is. You know why a lot of Christians make excuse? That God failed them. God failed me. Or us. Whatever it may be. That God failed me. You say, how so? I don't know what your story is. I don't know what you've tried to do for God. Maybe you tried doing something for God and it completely fell apart. Maybe you tried to raise some children for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and they're out in the world and full of the devil right now. That happens all the time. And with that, you have used it as an excuse that God failed me. You know, I think sometimes people get a trouble that comes in their life and then they begin to seek God real hard about it. It's sad that it takes trouble for us to really seek God hard, but you get some trouble in your life and you begin to seek God really hard about it and you're praying and you're fasting and you're searching the Scriptures for an answer and God's just silent and there's no answer. So in your mind, your reasoning, man's logic, he comes to the excuse is all it is, that God failed him. I think that happens with a lot of Christians many times. It's that, you know, I can't answer the call of God because, you know, I don't know if he's going to, you know, see me through on this thing. You know, it's kind of wild to think that God does so many great things for us. And then with our reasoning, there's one little thing that doesn't go the way we would like. And that means God's unfaithful and you can't trust him. I think that's how the mind, I think, works. You see that here with Gideon. He says in verse 13, he says, why has all this befallen us and where be all his miracles which our fathers told of us, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? God brought them out of Egypt. Brought them out of slavery. Was called their God. Had a temple set up in the midst of the kingdom. And they go into wickedness. And then he's like, God, where are you? After God's done, I mean, with what nation has God done such great miracles as the nation of Israel? And with what people, Christians, has God done some great things with? Except you. You're in America. And you've got some things that you have no idea you need to be thankful for. That you're not. Why? Because it's easy to be unthankful when it's always there. Simple things in life. One of the things that really struck me in beginning to visit foreign countries and God really tore me up about was when I got to Zimbabwe, and I'd been there for, I don't know, a month or two, or 4 or 5 weeks, something like that. And I began to talk to these guys about Bible translations, and all of a sudden I realized that they did not have a translation of the Bible that they could even get a hold of that was from the right Texas. Every one of their Bibles that they had were Catholic readings all the way throughout. And I realized, wow, how unthankful sometimes I am for the Bible. That's a blessing you don't even really fathom. That you have a Bible. Yet God can do all these great things, and then one thing doesn't go our way and God failed us. And you know what? And I don't want to underemphasize that. I understand that some people in here have probably been through some pretty bad things. I know what some people can go through. I've had a little bit of experience. I know I'm young, but I've had a little bit and been through a little bit of things that took me for a shock, to say the least. But at the same time, with one trouble, we begin to forget so many things that God does. You know what you're using as an excuse? To do what? Not to answer the call of God. You don't realize that God can use those things if you respond rightly to them for your growth, to prepare you for the calling that He has on your life. But we as human flesh, many times, want to try to just make an excuse. You know, I realize this. It's not that a lot of people hear the calling of God and say no. It's that most refuse to even listen. Because, you see, ignorance is bliss. So you just have an excuse, and then you refuse to ever listen. I'm going to put this out here, and you can think I'm wrong in this statement, but that's okay. I think you're absolutely wrong if you don't agree with this. And that's this. I believe every single Christian, should at some point in their life surrender to go to the mission field, whether God ever calls them or not. You say, why? Because God wants absolute surrender from every single person. That's what He wants. But yet, flesh is good at making excuses. Look here at verse 15, it says, and he said unto him, well, let me go back real quick. Look at verse 14. It says, Gideon finishes his exposition of why, you know, God failed him. Look how God responds. And the Lord looked upon him and said in verse 14, go in this thy might and thou shalt save Israel. He doesn't. Gideon makes all this excuse and he doesn't even answer it. He's like, okay, go in this thy might and you're going to go save Israel, and then goes on to tell him what he's supposed to do. He just skips over his whole excuse making, because you and God both know that that excuse is ridiculous. And so God's not even going to answer it. He's going to wait till you grow up and say, okay, I'm just making an excuse. You didn't really fail me. That's how I perceive it. Because I don't have your understanding and I don't have your knowledge. You come in verse 15, it says, and he said unto him, O my Lord, now this is Gideon again speaking, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. You know, I think a lot of people will refuse to answer the calling of God. It's because they think they're unqualified. Because they're not good enough. You know, God has not equipped me to do this. It's just an excuse, Christian. It's just an excuse. You say, how do you know that? Because I'm 25. I've not experienced a lot in life, and I know God called me to the mission field. And I guarantee you, I am more unqualified than many people in this room. Bible knowledge and life experiences and a lot of things. And He called me. Why? I don't know. Maybe somebody wouldn't answer. So He said, okay, I'll go find this guy. Being unqualified, that's just an excuse. It's nothing more than an excuse of why you cannot answer the call of God in your life. Moses tried it. Might not want to try it, because here's what happened with Moses. Moses said, Lord, I'm not eloquent enough to speak. And God gave him the largest church that's ever been. A couple million people. And first He gave Aaron, he'll give you what you need to help you. First He gave Aaron a speaker. But I guarantee you that Aaron did not always speak. It never says when it transitioned from Aaron to Moses. But I know that Aaron did not always speak. Because when he came down off that mountain and had those Ten Commandments, and Aaron's making this golden calf, I don't think he said, Aaron, come over here. I need to scream for a moment. You need to scream for me. No, he lost it. He definitely had to speak. So I don't recommend that one. But you know what? It's not going to hold water, Christian. That you're not, you know, you can't answer this calling or that calling. Lord, I just can't do it. I hear all the time. I'm serious. I hear it all the time. Everywhere I go. Man, I just could not be a missionary. Bless God for you, brother. I think. You don't know. Don't say that. You don't know what God will do to make you get into the position where you're willing to be a missionary. You have no idea what he can do. I mean, your excuses are taken away when there's stories such as men getting saved at 58 years old. He's saved for 2 years, and by the time he's 6 years old, he says God called him to the mission field. He's only been saved for 2 years. He says God called him to the mission field. He said God called him to China to go learn Chinese. Everybody tells him, brother, you can't go to the mission field. You're too old. You've only been saved for 2 years. You know, yada, 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 yada. The man says, I don't care. God called me to the mission field. So he leaves and goes to China. At 90 years old, he comes off the mission field after a 30-year ministry. He gets back to the States and he says, why did I come back to the States? At 91 years old, he turns back, goes back to China, and dies in the mission field at 93. You do not have an excuse, Christian. It's not an excuse. You know the story of Kenneth Cates. He was saved when he was late 30s, but he grew up in the backwoods of North Carolina. He dropped a drop out of school. He didn't even finish high school. Could hardly speak English properly. Couldn't at all speak English properly. And he said God called him to Brazil. Everybody, including his own pastor, including the lady who led him to the Lord, told him he could not do it. And he said, God called me. So he left unsupported because he knew that people wouldn't support him. Except his church gave him a couple hundred bucks a month. His church is all down the Amazon River now because that man answered the call of God. Now his sons are pastoring churches. His wife died on the field. He married a woman from Brazil. She died on the thing, and he stayed and kept on going. It's just an excuse, you see. Not being eloquent enough, not being good enough, that's just an excuse. You say, I'm wicked. I can't. I'm just horrible at being faithful. Stop. It's just an excuse. You say, I don't have a burden for the people. One of the greatest revivals that ever took place by a preacher who didn't have a burden for the people. His name was Jonah. It's an excuse. You see, you know, I learned this. There's some people I did not have a burden for. But once I got there, I began to have a burden for them. Sometimes you just got to take the step because God told you. Because it's the call of God. It doesn't matter what you think. It's the call of God. The only reason you don't answer it many times is because of ridiculous excuses. Because that's what we're so good at doing is making excuses. That's not to say that, you know, a lot of people say, I'm not spiritual enough. That's a great one. You know, I'm just, brother, I just don't have the heart like you do for God. And it's like, okay, stop the puffing me. I'm not spiritual enough. You know what I learned this? I learned this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I've learned this, that for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And the longer I've been a Christian, the longer I've experienced being out in the ministry a little bit and getting around people, you know what I learned? I realized from the top to the bottom of Christianity, everybody's full of the devil. There ain't nobody that's spiritual. Let's just get real, okay? There's nobody that's spiritual. I'm dead serious. But you know what? There's a bunch of sinners. Sometimes they yield to the Lord and God does a great thing. Not them, God. You see, it's just a bunch of sinners. You see, I've had people that I've looked up to or people that I thought were great Christians, and then I find out something out on the side. And God says, hey, I can use it. I can use that, and I can use you. I'm like, yeah, that's right, you can use me. Because you know, the longer you live with yourself, and you're real with yourself, you realize how full of the devil you really are. You know, I used to think I was going to attain. I'm striving to obtain, but I promise you this, I'm not going to attain until I die. And neither is anybody in this room. Because nobody's spiritual enough. The only spiritual you have in you is Jesus Christ. It's just an excuse, Christian. Nothing more than an excuse. I remember God dealing with me about my mission calling. Before I go into that, look here. Look at verse 36. Come forward. We're going to skip a little bit here. Go to verse 36. You guys should know the story of Gideon. And you know that where we get, this is where we get the fleece. You know, you put out a fleece. Verse 36, it says, "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." For sake of time, I'm not going to keep reading, but you know what happens. God does it. And of course, he gives a second ultimatum, and God does it. You know what I think? I just being quite honest with you. I think Gideon was hoping God would not do it. Why? Because then he could have an excuse. And I think many times, fleece, I'm not saying a fleece is never right, but I'll tell you what, you get used to doing fleeces, you're in a dangerous position. Because many times, you are searching for a reason not to do what God told you to do. That's what people do fleece for. God, if you do some great work, fill in the blank. Whatever that great work that you ask God to do. And then if he doesn't do it, what do you got? You got an excuse. You want to see God do a mighty work. Listen, God's already done a mighty work. You're not going to hell. It's a mighty work. And he's continuing to work. He's already even done a better mighty work. Look at this. This is great work. It's you study about this Bible and how we got it. It's insane. It doesn't add up. We shouldn't have it. Especially perfect. More or less even have the books together. With all the authors over 2,000, thousands of years, this should not be a book in existence. More or less perfect. But I know where I'm at. I know I'm in a King James Bible, even church. I know what you believe. I believe I do. It's insane. It's a mighty work. He's already done it. You don't need some mighty work to answer the call of God. You just need to quit making excuses and answer. Whatever that is. That God has called you to do. You say, I could do everything but. The line I always get is, I could do everything but go to Africa. Don't say that. God can get you there if he wants you there. Sometimes not in the way you expect it, but he can get you there. God must not do a mighty work, Christian. You just must answer the calling. Quit making an excuse for shortcomings, all the other things. You know what, Christians? I don't know what your excuse is tonight. There's thousands of excuses. I could continue to just go through lists and lists of excuses that people make. You know, some of you, it's I don't have, you know, it might be dangerous. You know, I could die over there. I could get a disease. You know how lame that excuse is? Let me give you this. Proverbs. Don't quote me on this. It's not exact, but Proverbs. The slothful man saith, there is line without, I shall be slain in the streets. You know why he won't go to work? Because he's a lazy bum. But you know what his excuse is? It's dangerous. You see, this is what the Bible says. You believe it, right? It says safety is of the Lord. And when I read verses like that, I like to read them both ways. So here's how I read that. That if it's not of the Lord, it's not safe. Right? I mean, can we agree on that? So if God says, go here, and that's of the Lord, then you're not safe where you're at if you don't answer. Worried about Muslims in Africa? People ask me that all the time. You worried about how dangerous it is over there? I mean, yes, in the flesh, yeah, there's some worries. But at the same time, I can die over here just as easy as I can in Africa. I mean, what is it, 13 and a half, I don't know, 3.5, 4.5 people die every single day in Washington, D.C. More people died in Washington, D.C. every single day added up than Iraq and Afghan and all those combined. Don't consider that. You see, you can die anywhere. It's just an excuse, you see. I don't know what your excuse is. Think of it right now. Why can't you go? You say, I'm... Why not you? You know, I remember this. When I was a kid, I grew up in a Christian home, had a good dad. He was a military officer, he was a colonel, so he was very strict in certain ways, especially when I was younger, very, very strict. And he whooped my butt when I did wrong. You know what, I remember this, when dad was gone, you know the famous line, wait till your dad gets home, right? I hated that line. I'd way rather mom whip me because it didn't hurt as bad. But you get that line, you know, and you begin to, she tells you that at 10 o'clock and dad gets home at 3. You know, you got to suffer the entire day in agony, worrying if your dad gets home. But you know what, I remember I would plot and I would plan. Okay, this is why I did this and I got to explain this. And I, all day long, and I had, you know, I had 20 different reasons why I did this. All of them making me not in the wrong. And then dad would get home and you'd hear his car. And then you heard him walking up to the door. And you're like, oh my God. By the time you saw him, he comes in and says, hey, walks in there. And then you hear your mom tell him, dad, what? And here comes dad. And you know those footsteps are coming towards you. And then he's standing in front of you. And he's not happy at all. Josh, come here. You know what happens? Mine goes blank. Why'd you do this? Right? If you grew up in a Christian home, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You didn't have to be in a Christian home. You just had a good dad. All the excuses went gone. I'll close with this. The day you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be without excuse. And all the reasons and things why you can't answer the call of God in your life, every mouth will be stopped. All the world will become guilty before God. Christian, you'll be without excuse. Let me ask you one more time. Why not you? Let's bow.
All right, let's remain with our heads bowed and our eyes closed here for just a little bit. Jenny starts to play. As the brother said, to have a time in your life where you readily have surrendered to do whatever is a good thing. Grab a hymn book if you don't know it by heart. Number 334. Stand. 334.